But in my report, I will consider, what if these optimists are not going to be right this time? And what if they've been seriously underestimating the pace and scale at which automation will replace and change the jobs of today in the second quarter of the century? What if the insipid productivity growth we've experienced over the last 10 years or so continues into the second quarter of the century? And what if we have too few workers with the skills needed for the occupations of tomorrow?
Hello and welcome to the Future of Work Hub's In Conversation With podcast. I'm Lucy Lewis, a partner in Lewis Silkin's employment team. And in this podcast series, I'll be hosting exclusive discussions with innovators, business leaders and thought leaders to explore their perspectives on the longer term trends and immediate drivers shaping the world of work. And for this podcast, I'm really delighted to be rejoined by my fellow partner, James Davis. James truly is a leading expert in employment law. He's got over 30 years experience and he writes and he speaks widely internationally and nationally on issues related to employment law and, of course, the future world of work. Now, some of you may remember that James joined us back in January and he just published his report, Eight Drivers of Change 2022 and Beyond. And we discussed what shifting demographics and changing societal values, what those things could mean for the world of work and the future political landscape. Well, I'm delighted to say that James has been busy and he's written a new report, and that's due to be launched on the Future of Work Hub in a few weeks' time. And the new report considers whether, despite the fact that we are experiencing skill shortages, we're likely to find ourselves in a position in the coming decades where there's a shortage of jobs. And if that's the case, how businesses, how policymakers, individuals, how they can prepare. So that's what we're going to be discussing today. But James, first of all, welcome back. You're the first returnee to the podcast.
It's great to be back and talking to you again.
So skills shortages look set to continue for the foreseeable future. And many employers, many of our clients, we know from speaking to them, are struggling to recruit and retain the best people. But against that backdrop, your new report suggests that actually the future labour market could be one where there are considerably fewer jobs, due at least in part to the impact of automation and obviously AI. And you can't go a day without headlines or announcements about new tech innovations and, you know, a really extensive debate about the impact that technological advancements are going to have on jobs. We see that all the time. You'll not be surprised to know the number of these conversations on the podcast. We've looked at that. We've touched on it. And so I'm interested to start by asking you, what's motivated you to write this report? What do you think are the key questions that we need to be asking ourselves and considering?
Well, that's a good question. I think as I was concluding my last report, I was looking a little bit further into the future and thinking it would be quite interesting to consider how the various drivers of change might impact on the world of work, say, in 2050. Now, of course, it's extremely difficult to predict the future, to crystal ball gaze so far into the future, but I think that policymakers, businesses, and I think individuals themselves need to be contemplating how the world of work might change over the next 20 or so years. And I was struggling to think of jobs where technology would have potentially no role to disrupt. And I could also see that job shortages were likely to accelerate employers automating, and that really was the catalyst for the report, which tries to look a little bit further ahead into the world of work. Of course, since then, since I first started thinking about the report, ChatGPT was launched in November last year and has propelled the potential of AI into the public consciousness. And as you say, you know, barely a day goes by without a news item reporting on the impact that AI might have on the jobs market in the future. But of course, it's not just AI that has a potential to profoundly impact on the world of work. There are rapid technological developments in sustainable energy, battery technology, robotics, genomics, all of which have the potential to disrupt the labour market or create new jobs. And I think it's that balance. It's whether or not we're going to see more jobs or fewer jobs in the future, that is the important question we need to grapple with. I mean, optimists have always pointed to past industrial revolutions and the potential for technology to create new jobs, as well as its potential to drive up productivity, which should result in economic growth, rising wages, increased demand, and more jobs. But in my report, I will consider, what if these optimists are not going to be right this time? And what if they've been seriously underestimating the pace and scale at which automation will replace and change the jobs of today in the second quarter of the century? What if the insipid productivity growth we've experienced over the last 10 years or so continues into the second quarter of the century? And what if we have too few workers with the skills needed for the occupations of tomorrow? Because clearly, whether or not there are too few jobs or too few workers, the skills that are going to be needed in those jobs are going to be very different from the skills of today.
Thanks, James. That's really, really interesting context, actually, and it sets the scene perfectly for our discussion. You talked about the report was looking 20 or so years ahead. I've had a sneak preview, and I know we're sort of anticipating this future world of work in 2050 and what the drivers that will shape that will be, some of them known, obviously, and some of them unknown events. When we look at whether or not that future will be characterised by too few jobs, could you share some of the key things that you think will influence the labour market in the coming decades?
Obviously, technology, artificial intelligence and other developments in technology will have a very profound effect on the number of jobs we have in the future. But there are various others, drivers of change, which are going to impact significantly on that question. Demographics is an important question. We have an ageing population, we have a relatively low fertility rate, and the workforce has the potential to shrink. And the UK population is only projected over the next 20 years to grow on account of projections in positive net migration figures. You know, politics may well impact upon that. Geopolitics will have a profound effect on the world of work. We've seen with Russia's invasion of Ukraine the extent to which geopolitical turmoil can dramatically impact the economy and jobs. Who knows what turmoil lies ahead in the next 25 years? And as I say, the number of jobs is going to be influenced significantly by the extent that we can increase productivity and generate economic growth. And I think as much as anything, and as I say, it's going to be preparing for the jobs of tomorrow so that we do have the skills to do those jobs that are going to be critical. And I think that one area in which the UK has fallen short recently is skills. And you know, we hear politicians of all refrain talking about the importance of skills, but the Learning and Work Institute produces some fascinating reports and shown that average business expenditure on training has declined by 28% since 2005, and UK business expenditure on training is half the EU average. Now, that's got to change and got to change quickly if we're going to be in a position where we have people with the skills equipped for the jobs of tomorrow.
Thanks, James. I'm going to come back to this question about skills and how we prepare, because I think it's an important one. But before we get to that, bearing all of that in mind and recognising, of course, that some of the things that may be significant influences are things that we can't know yet, asking the really critical question, do you think we'll reach a position in the next few decades, 20 years or so, 2050, that's where we project ahead to, whether there are too many jobs or too few jobs?
Well, it's as you say, it's a very, very difficult question to answer. And I think my position would be there is a significant risk that there will be too few jobs and that we need to start preparing for that. And that's both preparing to mitigate the drivers that will lead to the potential for too few jobs, but also ensuring that we have, as we've said before, had the skills for those jobs that exist. I think that, you know, looking ahead, it's sort of one of the things my report will do in some detail is look at different sectors and look at the different forces that could create more or fewer jobs in each sector. Now, the largest sector in the UK workforce at the moment is the health and care sector, 13.3% of workers work in that sector, and that's a proportion that's been gradually increasing in recent years. And I think that with unmet demand, the challenges that the health and care sectors have been facing, which have been much publicised, the ageing population, I think we will only see the numbers employed in the health and care sectors increase as a proportion of the workforce in the years ahead. And we need to start preparing for that, ensuring that we have sufficient trained care workers, doctors, nurses, etc., to do those jobs. I think the number of scientific and technical jobs will increase, at least in the short to medium term, the jobs that require what seem to be called STEM skills these days. But there's going to be global competition for that. These sort of jobs can be done by anywhere. And I think one of the trends we will see is, whilst we may see manufacturing coming closer to home and these distant supply chains coming under scrutiny and threat, I think knowledge jobs are jobs that can be done in most cases from anywhere. And we will see a geographical fragmentation of knowledge jobs and much greater international competition for those skills. I think we'll see the numbers employed in education will probably increase. There will still be work for workers in management, law, thankfully for us, accountancy, finance, business consultancy and similar. But I think there will be fewer than there are at present, because I think we will see AI complement the work of these professionals, and also AI mean that more mid-skill jobs are created in these areas working with AI. I think that we're going to see even greater replacement and displacement of routine and repetitive work by automation. And I think one of the things that we may begin to see, if we're right about the pressures on the number of jobs in the future, is going to be average hours decreasing. It's a trend over the last decades that the average hours worked in the UK have slowly but gradually decreased. We see much talk about the four-day working week now, and one thing I would suspect that we may see within the next 20 years is the campaign for the three-day working week, so that the work that's available, which is being done much more efficiently and productively than it has been done in the past, is shared between people, because, you know, work is generally a positive thing for people.
Thank you, James. Really interesting, and particularly your thoughts around how the working hours might decline over time. I said I'd come back to this skills issue because I think that's really interesting, that we may end up in a world with too few jobs, too many people, but still have significant skill shortages. And that's a really interesting thing to ponder. And I said I'd come back and ask you about how you think businesses, policymakers, employers can start to mitigate against the potential downsides of that shift. In other words, how can they start to prepare for this to make sure that they don't end up in a position where they've got too many workers for the jobs, but not people with the right skills for them?
I think that burden falls on all parties. It falls on policymakers. Policymakers need to ensure that organisations are incentivised to upskill. I think it falls on businesses who need to prioritise skills. I think sometimes there's too much of a short-termism in organisations, and you know, we all need to be preparing a more long-term approach to preparing for the future. And I think there's a role for individuals who need to recognise the need to acquire the skills for the work of tomorrow. I think schools need to adapt. I think with the rapid development of automation and artificial intelligence, the skills that humans have, the things that they might be able to do better than machines, we need to think what they might be. And clearly some of the soft skills, empathy, cooperation, leadership, communication, emotional intelligence, are skills that are going to be in greater demand. And I think we need to think about an educational system that develops those skills and values them. I think that also amongst managers, there's quite a lot said about working with AI. And I think that ensuring managers understand and can collaborate and embrace the potential of AI is going to be important. And I think this rapid pace of change is going to mean that change management skills are going to come to the fore. So I think those in management need to look carefully at the skills that they're going to need in the future. I think with geographical competition for jobs, there's going to be a burden on employers ensuring that they are providing the right environment for workers. They've got to attract and retain key workers, and they've got to understand what workers are looking for, and they've got to deliver on the values and priorities of workers, particularly the younger generations. I said quite a lot about that in my earlier report, but I do think that international cross-border competition for key skills is going to become more intense. I think that what we see now is the shift to a much more interventionist industrial strategy. You know, we've got Bidenomics in the States and EU also having a much more interventionist approach. And I think that the days of sort of laissez-faire economics are probably over, and we will see a shift in the UK, whatever political party is in power, to a much more interventionist industrial strategy. You can see Rishi Sunak talking about making the UK an AI hub. I think that sort of government policy in those areas is going to become much more important. And another sort of thing, I think encouraging employment, encouraging people to work is a good thing. And we need to recognise the need to embrace automation and AI to ensure that we are competitive internationally, and that goods and services are being produced or provided as efficiently as possible. But at the same time, we need a level playing field. And one of the things I always think is increasingly untenable is taxing jobs. So employers' national insurance contributions. So if you're looking at whether you decide whether to automate a job or to employ somebody to do the job, paying 10% plus is imbalancing the scales. And I, you know, whilst we're going to need more rather than less tax revenue in the years ahead, I'm not sure taxing jobs in that way is going to be sustainable for much longer. It's going to imbalance the people versus machines equation. You know, I do think, though, whatever steps we take to prepare for the changing world of work in the future, the potential of having too few jobs and the potential of not having the skills for the jobs that are there, that we do need to start thinking about how we manage society with insufficient work to go around, and whether that's the shorter working week that I've mentioned earlier. It might also mean that we're revisiting concepts like the universal basic income. We need to be thinking about and preparing for the world ahead. Hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Thank you, James. Really interesting and fascinating that what you've talked about is things that employers can do directly, businesses can do directly, but obviously other things that sit with government and policy makers, universal basic income, tax, etc. Very interesting to see what happens. We'll have to have you back in 20 or so years to let us know whether you were right in your predictions. Now, you'll know that usually at this point in the podcast, I ask the question, same question to everybody, and that's what they think is missing from the current conversation about the future of work, what isn't getting enough attention and why they think it's important. But we're in an unusual position because you've already answered that question when you came on the podcast in January. And what you explained was really interesting. You explained your thoughts about the climate emergency, how that was really going to be a significant driver of change. It would alter workplace decisions. And you also talked about growing inequality and the fact that you thought that would get a lot more attention by society and by governments and as a result by employers. And obviously, both of those things are really important issues, and they're clearly still very relevant to the future of work discussion. But I wondered if there was anything you want to add before we go.
So, yes, I do think that those areas remain important. Obviously, AI is going to have a dramatic impact on everything, but I don't think one would say it's receiving inadequate attention at present. So knowing you were going to ask me this question, I had a think, and I think perhaps it's tax. I think that we have a tax system that was designed for a world of yesterday, and we need to have an adult debate about tax. I mentioned employers' national insurance contributions earlier. I suspect we're all going to need to pay more tax in the future. I suspect that we're going to see a bigger public sector, and the question of who should bear the burden and what should be taxed needs a thorough debate. And it seems a shame to me that any suggestion that any taxes should be changed just seems too toxic for sensible debate at the moment. And we need to move on and have that debate.
Thank you, James. Yes, very interesting, and particularly in the context of, well, the party conference season moving into an election year. Thank you so much for your time. James's report, as I said at the beginning, will be available on our website at thefutureofworkhub.info in the next couple of weeks. I've had a sneak preview. It's great, and I'd really recommend you having a read of it when it comes out. Thank you again, James.
Thank you, Lucy. It's always a pleasure.